Okay. Again, good morning. Hey. Sorry, my hair doesn't look as good today as it did last week. It's really hot, it's humid, so don't let it distract you. Okay, so I've been told I shouldn't have any more jokes, so... Okay. Wow. That was the best reaction, and it wasn't even a joke. Okay. So, last week we talked about oneness with God and then the invitation to participate with Him. This week I want to talk about meeting with Him in your present reality. And then the living God who has 100% participation in your life. Okay? So those are the kind of the key points. It's kind of curious what Chris said this morning, because it's a lot of what I'm going to talk about this morning. So the first passage of Scripture that I'm going to read out of is going to be Genesis 3. Turn there real quick. Read Genesis 3, 1 through 13. I'm going to pray real quick. You guys can feel free to turn there or not turn there. It's totally up to you. I'm going to read it, so if you don't want to. All right, Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for the opportunity to come together and fellowship, Jesus. Thank you for the opportunity to sit in your presence once again. And again, how often we take this for granted, just being able to gather together and speak your name. So this morning we thank you, Father, for the opportunity yet again to speak your name with freedom, to praise you, Jesus, with freedom. I ask this morning as we dive into the Word, Jesus, that you would soften our hearts to hear from you. That yet again you would give us an opportunity to experience your love, and that we would take that invitation, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. So Genesis 3. Everybody remembers the book of Genesis? What happens in the book of Genesis? The fall of man. So we're going to talk about that here real quick. Now the serpent was more crafty. I'm in Genesis 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, "Indeed, has God said, you shall not eat from any tree of the garden?" And the woman said to the serpent, "From the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat, but from the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat from it or touch it, lest you die." And the serpent said to the woman, "You surely shall not die. For God knows in the day that you eat from it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." When the woman saw the tree was good for food, and it was a delight to the eyes, and the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took from its fruit and ate. And she gave also to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loin coverings. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God came, called to the man, and he said to them, "Where are you?" And he said, "I heard the sound of thee in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid myself." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?" And the man said, "The woman thou gavest to me," I forgot that word was in there, "gave to me, she gave me from the tree, and I ate." Then the Lord Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is it you have done?" And the woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." So, most of the time when we talk about this, the main thing that we talk about is the fall, because that's a pretty significant thing that happened. And I don't want to overshadow that, but I also want to talk about just a couple things in here that I've seen that the Lord's revealed to me in my times meditating on this scripture and sitting with the Lord. So as we go through this again, like I said last week, take this stuff and go back to scripture and sit with the Lord, meditate with the Lord, and hear His truth, be seekers of truth. So I just want to encourage you guys to do that. But verses, I want to go back to verse 5. I don't know why I put my Bible down. I want to go back to verse 5 real quick and talk about this. It says, For God knows in the day that you eat from it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So I think we kind of gloss over this and the implications that it has for what happened. You know, when Adam and Eve ate from the tree, they became like their own gods. Okay, their eyes were open to what they thought was good and evil. Okay? And so they became like their own gods, not the God, and not even a good God, you know. But all of a sudden, their master was no longer the Father. Okay? Something else was their master. And that's what, you know, they recognized where they were at and their depravity and their nakedness. And they said, "Man, there's no one who would want to see this." So they hid themselves, you know. And we do that in our own lives, don't we? I mean, we decide when it's okay to meet with Jesus. A lot of times we decide, "Hey, I'm not good enough right now." You know? "I didn't do so hot this week." You know? "I didn't do too good today. I'll wait till tomorrow when I get things kind of in order to meet with Jesus." We decide when Jesus, who actually, and I don't want to get ahead of myself, but who paid for things on the cross, he paid to be with His beloved, and we decide when it's okay. I mean, how many times have we heard the phrase, you know, "You need to get your heart right before you get with God"? You know, "You need to get your heart right before you approach the Father." You know, how many times have we heard that? And we think, "Yeah, that's right. I need to get my heart right. I need to get my heart right before I approach God." You know, in Romans 8:38-39, it says, "For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, or any created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." So if we believe that statement of Scripture, if we believe that statement with our whole heart, then why in our subconscious do we think, "Man, I got to get things right before I come to the Father"? Why do we hold ourselves back from living in our present reality of where we are and we say, "Man, I need to cover myself so that when Jesus, the Father, comes to walk with me in the cool of the day, He doesn't see my depravity"? In verses 7 through 8, we see what the Father did. We see what God did. And what did God do? He came back to the garden. He came back to the garden knowing full well what Adam and Eve had done. He came back to the garden in search of His beloved to walk with them in the cool of the day. Now, I'm not saying He came back to take away or intervene the consequence of what they had done or to cut off the consequence of sin. But I'm saying his proximity to his beloved did not change. His heart towards Adam and Eve did not change when they sinned. He came back and he had a steadfast love for Adam and Eve, his beloved, and his steadfast love came back and said, "Where are you? Where are you, my beloved?" And he said, "Dude, man, I'm not looking too hot." You know? And he wanted them to realize, listen, you haven't looked too hot from the beginning, but I've been with you. You know? My heart has been for you. It has not been against you. My love has been towards you. It has not faced away, and it will never face away. The fact is, the reality is, that you can't actually get your heart right unless you approach the Father. It's not possible to get things right by yourself. So why do we hide it from the Father? Why do we hide our present reality of where we're at from the Father? Man, I'm living in sin and I can't get out of it. But you know what? It's okay because Sunday's coming and I'll hide it and it'll be fine. I'll get a fix on Sunday. It's going to be okay. You know, why do we do that? If you want to see radical change in your life, recognize the present reality that you're in and then recognize that the Father is 100% in it with you. He is here. He's here to see the change of your heart. He's here. He's here to uproot the things that are in your heart and to give you a new way. It says in Scripture, Christ came back to show us a new way. Right? So at that moment, we became slaves to a new master. We became slaves of sin. We became slaves of our own way of thinking. You know, we became like our own gods. And God came back through his son Jesus to show us the new way. And to show us that there is a new master, not even a new master, but show us that there is the master. And his name is Jesus, his name is the Father, his name is Holy Spirit, the triune God, and that is the master that we must serve. And he came to show us that even in our depravity, that we can approach him and live out his love and his character, his righteousness and his holiness on the earth, be the full representation of Christ, not through anything that we've done or any of our doing, but everything that he's done in his faith and his righteousness. Switch out the Bible here. Can I have that one? So I'm going to turn to Romans 6. You guys can turn there with me if you want. So Romans 6, 8, I'm going to start in verse 8. But if we have died with the Anointed One, we believe that we shall also live together with him. So we stand firm in the So we stand firm in the conviction that death holds no power over God's anointed, because he has resurrected from the dead, never to face death again. When he died to whatever power sin had, once and for all, and now he lives completely to God. So here is how to picture yourself now that you have been initiated into Jesus the Anointed. You are dead to sin's power and influence, but you are alive in God's rule. Don't invite the insufferable tyrant of sin back into your mortal body so you won't become obedient to its destructive desires. Don't offer the bodily members to sin's service as tools of wickedness. Instead, offer your body to God as those who are alive from the dead, and devote the parts of your body to God as tools for justice and goodness in this world. For sin is no longer a tyrant over you. Indeed, you are under grace and not the law. Now sin and death no longer define us, but grace does. God's favor has been given freely to us through His Son, Jesus, who liberates us from sin's power. So what do we do now? Throw ourselves into lives of sin because we are cloaked in grace and don't have to answer to the law? Absolutely not. Doesn't it make sense that if you sign yourselves over as a slave, you will have to obey your master? The question is before you is, what will be your master? Will sin be, which will lead to certain death, or obedience, which will lead to right and reconciled life? Thank God your slavery to sin has ended, and that in your new freedom you pledged your heartfelt obedience to the teaching which has passed on to you. The beauty of your new situation is this. Now that you are free from sin, you are free to serve a different master, God's redeeming justice. There's so much in this passage. I believe that this passage is a picture of Christ's fullness and His full participation in our life. You know, just as the passage said, grace is not the ability to go out and do whatever you want. Grace is the authority to approach the Father and to walk in the coolness of the day with Him. That's what grace is. Grace gives us the opportunity to meet with Jesus in our present reality. Whatever that reality is in your life, whatever the storm is, whatever sin has hold of your life, or whatever it is, it's not the behavior that He's worried about changing. It's the heart that He wants. And grace gives you the authority to walk in the fullness of who Christ says you are and walk with Him in the cool of the day, just as in the garden. Grace gives you that authority to approach Him and to recognize that He's been here, sitting in front of you, the whole time. Living in our present reality is a hard thing, especially for myself. I mean, I'll speak for myself. I'm a dreamer. I'm not the only one. Got him. But I am a dreamer, so I like to live in the future, you know. I like to think about how things could be, you know. Man, I can't tell you how many countless conversations, Holly, tell you how many countless conversations we've probably had this week of me talking about my dreams, and man, I bet you if I did this, I could do that, you know. It makes me feel good. So I have a hard time living in my present reality. And, you know, our culture doesn't help with it either. You know, we have Facebook, Netflix. You know, our cell phones are like high-tech computers in our hands. You know, it's got a calculator on it. got him again. you know... We have the ability to distract ourselves from the present reality that we're living in a matter of seconds. You know, if we're sitting across from somebody and we're not like really digging it, you just pull out our cell phones. And it's actually okay nowadays, which is mind-boggling. But, you know, it's okay to watch somebody be on their cell phone or to just tune it out and, hey, let's Netflix. You know what I mean? Like, we can do that in our current culture. And now how much spiritual stuff do we have that can distract us from our present reality? You know, I like music. And music is something that I put on to distract myself a lot of times. You know, I'll put a teaching on. I was listening to a podcast last week, and this guy was talking about this very thing. And he said he grew up in the church, good church boy. And he said at one point in his life he was having so much struggle, and all he thought was, man, I have to read the scripture. I have to read the scripture, because if I read the scripture, then my life will be right. And he said at one point he heard the Father say, why are you trying to distract yourself with meeting with me by just masking it with reading scripture? Now, I love the scripture and I hold it highly, but I can tell you in my own life I've done this. I've read scripture trying to just blanket, oh man, I'll get through this. You know, oh man, once I'm at the end of this, I'll experience the Lord's love. Once I'm at the end of this, I'll experience the high moment. You know, once I'm at the end of this, it's going to be good. And we try to live as though we're going from the next mountaintop experience to the one mountaintop experience to the next. At least I've lived that way, and I know in our Christian culture we do that. We say we're going to go from here to here, and this valley experience, just cover it. It'll be fine. Once you get through it, it'll be fine. You know, you mask all of the sin, all of the craziness in your life, because we don't think that God wants to meet with us there. And once we're done with it, then the beautiful moment comes. And the beautiful moments do come. But I don't know why we get so scared of facing ourselves. And we get so scared of facing ourselves that we refuse to meet with Jesus. It's like in my own life, it was like this subconscious thing that I thought that sin in my life was the kryptonite to Jesus. You know, I thought in my life that all of this other stuff that I have, once I eradicate it, then I'll feel the fullness of who God is. He doesn't work that way, and he doesn't run away from it. He wants to be fully in it with you. Fully in your life. We need to realize and stop having this subconscious thought that the experience of the fullness of the love of Christ is at the end of the storm. We can fully experience the love of Christ when we're in the middle of the storm. It's a matter of whether or not you want to choose it. It's a matter of whether or not you want to recognize it. We have a better way to live, and it doesn't require behavior modification. It doesn't require us trying to figure out how to live our lives in a way that's pleasing to the Father. We have to realize that it's His faith and His righteousness and His holiness that lets us approach the Father. So if we live in that, then we can approach Him on a daily basis. And when we approach Him on a daily basis and we begin to spend time with the Father, we begin to realize that His character is now bleeding over into me. His character is now bleeding into me, and His character and His love is coming out of me now. I mean, it's said that your five closest friends shape your character, right? I don't know if any of you guys have read this before. Your five closest friends shape the character of your life. Why is that? Because you spend the most time with them. You spend the most time with them. You interact with them. You begin to pick up their mannerisms. I mean, even sometimes people get you confused with one another. You know, you start dressing alike. So if you want to dress good, start hanging out with me. Thanks, Tamara. You know, it's one of those things when you start spending time with the Father and you start realizing that the yuckiness of your life that you keep hiding in the back of your heart, just let it go and show it to the Father. He will uproot that and He will start showing you His character, and His character will start coming out of you. It's just as I said last week. Once you start spending time and having these experiences with the Father, the fruits of the Spirit are going to start coming out of your life. Real change will happen in your life. I mean, when the prodigal son came back, he was covered in pig crap. He was just living in a pig pen. And the Father didn't say, hey, hold up, before I put this robe on him and this ring on him, let me hose him down. He put the robe on him, put the ring on him. He embraced him. Fully embraced him and said, you are my son. You know, and then he probably said, let's go take a shower. I had to let that one sink in to go over some of your heads. I don't know about that. So, coming to the end of the time here, but I want to this morning, I want to do something real quick. Maybe for like the next 10 minutes or so. We're going to do, 3 minutes or so. Four. Split it. 5 minutes. we're going to do a listening exercise. I want to explain what we're going to do, and then I'll take you through it. So, we're going to sit here together, and maybe could we turn on, like, some peaceful piano music? Something like that? In just a second. Sit here together. You guys can have your eyes shut, eyes open. You know, you can hold your hands out, whatever works for you. But what I want you to do is sit and picture yourself sitting in your living room in a comfortable spot. And then I'm going to ask you to invite the Lord into your, invite Jesus into your living room. And we're going to picture Jesus coming into our living room, okay? And then we're going to sit there for a minute and we're going to ask Jesus, where are some areas in my life that I have, that I have not been present with you? Where are some areas in my life that I have not been present with you? Okay? And you can continue to say that. And then we're going to wait and listen. Okay? And then write down what he says. Write it down. And then I'm going to challenge you this week to take these things back and to work on being present with the Lord in these areas. To showing up 100% as he shows up. Okay? So everybody understand? Cool. So, Dwayne, if you want to... Oh, you're getting it? Okay. So Dwayne's going to put on some music here in a second, but I'm just going to pray, and then we're going to go into this, okay? So, Father, I just ask as we go into this time of meditation with you that you would open our hearts, Father, that you would open our minds, that you would give us the ability to hear from you, Father. I ask that you would soften our hearts to hear and see the areas in our own life where we're not being present with you. The areas in our life where we're not taking 100% full responsibility for the reality that we're living in, Jesus. Okay, so we're just going to stay quiet here. Like I said, close your eyes, open your eyes. I think it's helpful to close your eyes. I just want to imagine yourself sitting in your living room. And as we do this, go ahead and invite Jesus into your living room. Now we're just going to ask Jesus, where are some areas in my life? Bring me some areas in my life where I have not been fully present with you. Ask him again, where are some areas in my own life where I have not been fully present to you? Show me the areas in my life I have not been fully 100% present with you, Jesus. And as he begins to show you things, go ahead and write them down so you don't forget them. Just write them down. We'll just ask again, Jesus, where are some areas in my own life where I have not been fully present with you? Again, as the Lord shows you, just begin to write it down. You can turn that down the way. Thank you. So as we come out of this, guys, I would encourage you to do this week in your quiet times. To sit before the Lord and invite Him into your dwelling place and say, show me the areas that I'm not 100% present with you. And as we go this week, I want you to remember a couple things. Christ is fully present in your life. Own the reality that you live in. Walk in the truth that Christ is always steadfastly pursuing you. And it's His loving kindness that leads us to repentance, not our shame and duty. So I'm just going to pray real quick and then hand it off to somebody else and we'll go into sermon discussion. Father, thank you again for this morning. I thank you for who you are in our lives, Father. I thank you that you are 100% present in our lives. 100% present and participating in our lives, Jesus. I ask as we go forth this week that you would continue to show us areas where we're not 100% present with you, Father. Show us the areas where we can begin to learn and glean from your character, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.